Medicare. Those people are nuts.
Fiscal year 2013 budget hearings for the Community Services Department to order. Before we begin the hearing on the budget, I'd like to recognize the folks who have joined me at the table. I'm Councilman John Cartier, chairing the meeting. My legislative aide, Christina Blumenthal, is taking the minutes of the meeting. I'd like to start around the table. Councilman Smiley, Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Bell, Councilman Street, Councilmember Diller, Councilman Weiner, Councilman Retta are at the table. Do I have a motion on the minutes of the previous meeting?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? All right. With that, we've got the business out of the way. We're going to move on to the presentation of the community services budget. General Manager Marcus Henry is at the table with us. Marcus, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. I am very pleased today to present Community Services FY13 budget to you. Since joining Community Services over a year ago as the General Manager, we have broken ground for the new Claymont Library, developed a public computer lab at Garfield Park, and planned for the start of the 913 needs assessment to provide new library services for this area. We have also undertaken a major renovation of the Bear Library that, when completed, will enhance our level of service to the community. We have also kicked off a new initiative for a healthy living in Newcastle County, solidified an agreement and coordination of services with PAL, and we prepared for reductions to our federal grants appropriately. I feel very confident that the dedicated employees of this department are delivering valued services while continuing to do more with less resources. Putting this budget together was a team effort, and I would like to recognize the managers of the community services staff who are a huge help to me in the daily operations and of the department. Ms. Jane Rattani, Ms. Diana Brown, and Ms. Carrie Casey.
Carrie.
Thank you. I would also like to recognize Eileen Latham, our senior budget procedures analyst, who works tirelessly to prepare this annual budget. Thank you, Eileen. I am also pleased to have a number of friends and supporters of the department with us today, and I thank them for attending. Overall, the Community Services FY13 budget of approximately $16.8 million is a 1.75% decrease when compared to the current FY12 budget. In fact, this is the lowest recommended Community Services budget in 9 years. Hi.
Hi, sir.
This is a significant accomplishment considering that during this span, if you remember, we added the new Woodlawn Library to our operations. This illustrates our continued efforts to dedicate our resources in support of our core direct services to the residents of Newcastle County. By continually reviewing all areas of the department and operating as efficiently as possible, I strongly believe that the department provides great service at a great value. On that note, I would now like to walk through the rest of our FY13 recommended budget, and I would appreciate it if we could hold questions until the end of the presentation.
Marcus, if you could, I'd just like to recognize our council, County Council Pro Tem, Penrose, Councilman Penrose Hollins is joining us at the table.
With that, I'll ask you to turn to page one. Thank you. The mission of the Department of Community Services is to provide a wide range of services to Newcastle County residents and visitors that will strengthen families and individuals, building social capital, improve neighborhoods, and ensure places and spaces to live, learn, play, socialize, and recreate. To accomplish its mission in FY13, the department will have a complement of 147 positions. As you can see from the organizational chart, the department operations is divided to administration with 10 positions, the library's division with 83 full-time positions, and one position which is grant-funded. The community resources division is supported by 16 positions, and the department's fiscal operations is supported by 10 positions. Six positions are grant-funded. And the community development and housing division is supported by 28 positions. Actually, 25.7 positions are currently grant-funded. If you turn to the next page. As you see, the department's FY13 recommended budget is just over $16.8 million, as I mentioned earlier. This is a 1.75% decrease over FY12. I want to point out that the department is operating with the lowest operating budget since FY04. Turning to the next page. This page represents the details of the department's budget. Almost 72% of the department's operating budget supports the Division of Libraries. 17% supports community resources, 9% supports administration, and a little over 1% supports community development and housing. I would like to point out the department receives federal funding of over $20 million to support our housing programs and receives over $2.1 million in state funding to support our libraries, senior and summer youth programs. The department's all funds budget is estimated at $39.7 million, of which federal grant funds represent 52% of the total budget and state grants fund 5%. On the expenditure side, the department funds personnel costs just under 60% compared to the county general fund that allocates approximately 73% towards personnel costs. The department spends 4.7% on materials and supplies, 4.7% on communication and utilities, 6.5% of contractual services, 16.7% on grants and fixed charges, and 7.5% on intergovernmental charges. I'll now move to page 4. For FY13, the department has a complement of 147 full-time employees. This is a net decrease of 4 positions. One executive assistant position was transferred to the executive office. 3 other vacant unfunded positions were deleted, which included the senior transportation coordinator, a community services administrator, and a housing financial advisor. Next, I'd like to go to diversity on page 5. On pages 5 and 6 are the department diversity reports for full and part-time employees. It is a goal of the department to have a workforce that is representative of the population we serve. According to the Delaware Department of Labor, the non-white available labor force in Newcastle County stands at 24.5%. Collectively, the department's full and part-time labor force is 24.1% non-white. Increasing diversity continues to be a primary goal of mine where it is possible and appropriate. The department's strong commitment to diversity is clearly evident in the programs and services offered to the public. The department's vision is to provide Newcastle County residents with access to services and opportunities to participate in programs that are truly reflective of our whole community. I would like to highlight just a few of our many successes in promoting and celebrating diversity through our programs and services. In 2011, the department again administered a summer youth employment program, which employed 99 income-eligible youth between the ages of 14 and 20, who worked with 13 partnering agencies in Newcastle County to provide meaningful work experience to underprivileged youth. The summer recreation camps served 324 youth and were managed by a diverse group of 34 counselors, 62% female, 38% male, and 44% non-white. 49% of those campers attended on scholarships through the generosity of County Council, thank you, the Executive Office, Community Partnership, Comcast, the Town of Middletown, and Community Development Block grant funding. The Community Activity Centers offer programs for seniors and participants with disabilities to gather and exercise. Classes included Yes You Can and Sit and Be Fit, wheelchair basketball, and wheelchair ballroom dancing. The Art Studio's partnership with the Art Therapy Express program offers expressive arts programs to individuals with mild to severe disabilities at the Kaleidoscope Studio, which is located at the Art Studio. This program had 192 participants in FY11. The department partnered with the Kirkwood Soccer Club to offer the Urban Soccer League, which served 432 Hispanic youths between the ages of 8 to 18, who participated on 36 teams in FY11. The Division of Community Development and Housing provides architectural accessibility grants for income-eligible residents. 8 grant cases were completed in FY11. To date, 4 grants have been completed for FY12. Accessibility retrofits in homes include qualified items such as grab bars, moderate bathroom upgrades such as handrails, chair lifts, and ramps. The Section 8 housing program provided 638 people with disabilities with housing in FY11. and also provided 203 seniors with housing. CDNH administered community development block grants, home, and emergency shelter grant programs, which assisted 2,386 minority individuals with housing and public service assistance in FY11. 30 homes were sold for home ownership to minority families through the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. The CDNH homeowner rehab programs served 75 senior households in FY11. Of those 75 households, 30 seniors received grants through the Senior Minor Home Repair Program. Three seniors purchased homes through the NSP programs. The Newark Library engages volunteers from the Delaware Autism School and from the Christina School District's Network School for the Entrepreneurial Sciences, which provide job training for students with disabilities. The Appaquimetic Library employs one staff person with an identified disability, and the Brandywine 100 Library employs two staff with identified disabilities. The Brandywine 100 Library has two volunteers from the Mount Pleasant Site Program for youth with disabilities. This is a new volunteer partnership that we're very proud of so far. In FY11, outreach to the Hispanic Bear Library patrons and the ESL students included a free bilingual presentations by representatives from the Legal Aid Society, Westside Health, Newcastle County Police, and Parent Information Center of Delaware. Monthly Chinese bilingual story times are offered by a volunteer at Newark Library. The popular programs draw between 12 to 34 people at each presentation. The Newark Library has a monthly African American book discussion group, which focuses on African American authors. Outreach to immigrants from Africa and Asia has resulted in expanded collections and programming such as Bollywood DVDs and a celebration of the Chinese New Year with programs on Tai Chi, Chinese calligraphy, and story times with Chinese themes. As you can see, this department works hard to be supportive and inclusive of all residents of Newcastle County. We will continue to be proactive in providing services and programs that celebrate our diversity. Now I'll turn to page 7. As I mentioned before, the department's FY13 budget is $16.8 billion. This is a decrease of $299,203 from the FY12 approved budget. I'll now walk you through these details, which begin on the next page, page 8. Materials and supplies increased by less than 1% for the restoration of office supplies for the Bear Library. Actually, I skipped the page, sorry, page 8. Mm-hmm. For salaries and wages, the 1.71% increase includes merit increases due to the full and part-time employees and the restoration of the part-time budget for the Bear Library. Training and Civic Affairs realizes no change in funding for FY13. Communications and utilities increased by 6.3% due to slight inflationary increase and restoration of the utility budget for Bear Library. Now moving on to page 9. Materials and supplies increased by less than 1% for the restoration of the office supplies for the Bear Library. Contractual services increased by a little over 1% due to an increase in rental costs for the Abbott Jones Community Center, Ellesmere, and Claymont Libraries, and a reallocation for fixed charges. Equipment remained level funded as in FY12. The fixed charges budget line includes pass-through grants, fixed charges, and contributions. It decreased by 5.23% due to the elimination of the utility budget of the pass-through grant to the Wilmington Institute Library to reflect that the library will be closed for renovations in FY13. I'd also like to recognize Larry Manuel from the Wilmington Institute Library here today. Thank you, Larry. Continuing on to the next page. Intergovernmental costs decreased over 16%. Regarding IT, and this is important, there is a serious discussion from the State Division of Libraries that will be taking over IT maintenance and support of all public and most library staff computers throughout the state. The state's commitment would include adding IT help desk technicians for troubleshooting and upgrades, among other items. When this comes to fruition, it will have a major impact on this department's IS needs. A pilot project supported by the state will be done at Garfield Park Library Computer Lab, and we'll continue to keep you informed as they move forward on this. Moving on to page 11. As I mentioned earlier, in FY13, The department's complement will be a total of 147 positions. This is a net decrease of 4 positions and the lowest number of positions for the department in over 10 years. We have 10 positions unfunded in FY13, which is shown on the right side of the page. Moving on to page 12, I'm going to highlight the department's accomplishments for FY12 and our goals for FY13. FY12 accomplishments include the department receiving no audit findings of federal programs through the Newcastle County single audit or through the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Voucher Management System audit. We successfully negotiated, as I mentioned before, a 24-month agreement effective December 2011 with the Police Athletic League of Delaware to maximize both agencies' ability to provide programs and services and to generate revenue. We completed a computer lab at Garfield Park Library and Activity Center and established a friends group to support the library. We successfully transitioned the county-operated Senior Congregate Meals Program to City Fair of Wilmington to provide food service to senior centers located throughout Newcastle County. We engaged volunteers for a total of 34,846 hours last year for a monetary value of $696,920. We developed Healthy Living Initiative for Newcastle County, partnering with the Nemours Foundation on programs and services for healthy lifestyles and eating. I mentioned it last week. I'll be providing a more detailed report to County Council later this month on our youth services that we have. However, I want to point out the following accomplishments. In FY11, sports and athletics spent approximately $234,000 on sports programs and summer recreational camps for youth. The Activity Center spent $15,600, and the Art Studio Safety Town spent $49,300 for a total of nearly $299,000 in direct expenditures. These programs generated more than $341,000 in revenue for the department. In FY11, the library spent $57,265 in state aid funds on programs for children and teens. All library programs, of course, are free to the public. In FY11, the Community Development Housing Division allocated $131,000 in CDBG funds to 8 agencies for programs for children. Now, moving on to specific accomplishments for community development and housing, we partnered successfully with Section 8 and the Neighborhood Stabilization Program to provide an avenue for 2 of our Section 8 clients to purchase NSP homes. 18 Section 8 clients are currently homeowners through the Section 8 homeownership program. We provided housing for 4,922 individuals and 1,795 families. Approximately 2,517 were children, 624 head of households are individuals with disabilities, and 194 are seniors. We generated over $3.5 million in program income through the successful sale of over 27 NSP units to qualified homebuyers through NSP 1. Through NSP 2 funding, 27 properties have been acquired for rehab and resale, and 5 to date have been successfully sold. Also, 70 loans have been processed through the VAP 1 and VAP 2 programs, which were created to provide an additional layer of support to communities receiving assistance through the neighborhood stabilization programs. We assisted 127 very low to low to moderate income owner-occupied households with housing repairs. 75 of the 127 were senior-headed households. We collaborated with partners for the construction of affordable housing in Middletown, Knollwood, Edgemoor, Dunleaf, and multifamily senior housing in Claymont, Belvedere, and the City of Wilmington. Through the Library Division, we will complete the needs assessment for the library services to service the Route 913 corridor. Through partnership with the State of Delaware Library Catalog Consortium, we continue the development of virtual library services, including the e-book implementation, wireless access, mobile apps, and Ask a Librarian service. We've added 12,139 new library card holders in FY11 for a total count of 286,524. We circulated over 4.4 million library materials in FY11 throughout the library system, and we served patrons who visited the county libraries 2.5 million times. Now moving on to fiscal year goals for the departments on page 17. The goals for the department start with forging new partnerships with nonprofit agencies and other jurisdictions to identify new grant opportunities and work to leverage private, corporate, and community resources to support programs, services, and to supplement federal funding reductions. Also, to improve advertising and marketing for all departmental programs and services. To develop a tier interface with department programs of Visual Homes and the ActiveNet, which will reduce duplication of fiscal operations for Section 8 and sports and recreation programs. The interface will also allow for department-wide direct deposit for all accounts payables and receivables. To complete the Bear Library capital project and complete the construction of the new Claymont Library. To continue the planning and pre-development phase for initial review of the Route 913 Library and for the ongoing Southern Library. For community development housing, we want to incentivize private investment into our existing housing trust fund. To continue to execute NSP, maximizing program income and meeting HUD's expenditure deadlines. To market and sell remaining NSP 1 and NSP 2 inventory. In community resources, we plan to identify new revenue sources and increase grant and fundraising opportunities to support special events, programs, and services. To apply for a state grant to fund a new senior bus. In libraries, we plan to assess progress to date on the library master plan and make revisions where necessary. To plan for the reopening of the Bear Library, assuring sufficient staffing levels to operate. To plan for the opening of the new Claymont Library, including the move from the existing facility to the new one. And as part of the Delaware Library Catalog Consortium, continue to improve access to e-resources and expand virtual and web-based library services. I would now like to turn the vacant positions on page 21.
I'd like to recognize, it was recalled that the County Council President Tom Kovac has joined us at the table.
On page 21, the department currently has 25 vacant positions as of March of 2012. Over the last year, we have moved forward on filling vacant positions. I am pleased to date with the coordination and assistance from our Human Resources Department. I want to take this opportunity to thank Chief Human Resource Officer Lynn Beatty and her great staff. With each vacant position, the department has performed a re-examination of needs, roles, and duties to ensure we optimize staff and resources. Position titles don't always capture the nature of the work, and we are ensuring our needs are being met. In administration, there are two vacancies that will remain unfunded. Over the last year, we have filled vacancies from librarians 1s and 2s, library assistant, and we just selected candidates for the two vacant full-time library specialist positions. Due to these recent employment offers, libraries currently have 9 vacancies. 5 will remain unfunded, and 1 is deleted in FY13. In community resources, we have 3 vacancies, and in CDNH, 9 positions are vacant. 3 will remain unfunded in FY13, and 2 vacant unfunded positions were deleted. Moving on, pages 24 through 28 list contractual service detail. But pages 30 through 32 delineate the budget by division. If it's okay, I'd like to go to page 34 for the fee schedule revenue for the department. The projected revenue budget for the department in FY13 is more than $1.2 million. As I mentioned, a goal of the department is to forge new partnerships with nonprofits and other jurisdictions. But across the board where appropriate, the department has implemented an out-of-county fee. This is new for sports and recreation. For libraries, the out-of-state fee has increased from $35 to $40. Although we estimate approximately $5,000 in new revenue for community resources programs, the out-of-state fee may not result in an increase in revenue for libraries because the price point may have been reached. Library revenue collected for printing from public computers has increased this year over the same period a year ago. It is expected that this revenue will increase even more in FY13 with the elimination of free copies for patrons. Regarding libraries' fines and fees, as you know, a few years ago, the department implemented new policies and procedures. Fines collected for overdue materials have decreased over the last 2 quarters, primarily due to the block placed on all cardholders who owe more than $5. Fees collected for lost materials have decreased over the same period a year ago for the same reasons fines have decreased. Looking forward, we expect continued gradual decreases in fines and fees as libraries move to electronic collections. It is reassuring to be seeing a trending down of fines and fees, due in part to the new policies, but also due to patrons managing their accounts more carefully in order not to accrue charges. A new revenue source in FY13 is the rental payment at Rockwood for the contractual usage of the carriage house by the Greenery for $100,000 annually. Moving on, pages 36 through 38 review the department's performance measures. I'd like to actually turn to page 40 to discuss the grant funds. The department receives, as I mentioned earlier, over $20 million in federal funds for housing programs and services, which include program income, and receives over $2.1 million in state funding to support our library, senior, and summer youth employment programs. As I mentioned earlier, the department's all funds budget totals approximately $39.7 million. The federal grants budget represents 52% of the total departmental budget, and the state grants represent 5%. Federal grants include Section 8, Community Development Block Grants, Home, and Emergency Shelter Grants. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development FY13 budget was finalized and signed by the President at the end of November of last year. The Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program, as I've mentioned previously, sustained a 25% reduction in operational costs, and that's defined as anything other than housing and rental subsidies. Funding for the Community Development Block Grant was reduced by 3% on top of the 17% reduction from last year. Our home program, unfortunately, was hit the hardest, with a reduction of 36% from this previous year on top of the 12% reduction from last year. Now please turn to page 42 to discuss the Holly Open House. The Holly Open House is an annual event held in December. This past year was one of the most successful on record. We had over 2,600 visits to Santa Claus, 2,200 museum tours, and 3,600 visitors to the carriage house. Committed volunteers assist us each year in providing this wonderful event. Volunteers provided 607 hours during the open house weekend. Volunteers also provided 345 hours in decorating the park and mansion in preparation of the event. In addition, $3,699 was received in cash donations towards the cost of the event, and $1,400 in donated products, and $1,650 in-kind services were provided. The net cost to Newcastle County was just $3,256. Now on to page 43 to discuss the Platinum Picnic. The Platinum Picnic was held in June of 2011. Last year, 600 seniors enjoyed this annual event at Banning Park. We utilized corporate and community volunteers who donated 75 hours for the setup and breakdown of the event. Donations in the amount of $5,500 in cash and $2,600 in time and product helps offset the cost of this worthwhile event. The net cost to Newcastle County was only $249. This concludes my department's budget presentation. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. We're going to turn to questions from Council. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, thank you very much for detailed budget analysis. I just want to comment first that the Platinum Picnic and the Holiday Open House are two examples of what many of us on this council have said from day one, and that is that along with needing to rein in spending, we were willing to look at things the county provided that cost money and look at the balance and get it as close as we can and look at the value for the dollar. These are a couple where, although they do still cost us money, it's nowhere near what it was, and the value for the limited amount of funds that we're spending, I think, are well worth it. And this is a far cry from what was on our plate initially in 2004. So I commend you for that. My question is, you referenced the state coming in with a statewide library information systems program, and you said that that would have a significant impact. Mm-hmm. My question to you is the significant impact costly to the budget, or does it reduce
hopefully it's your a budget? Savings. That's a pretty big savings.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's what I was hoping, but I was just looking for clarification. You kind of left that hanging there, that it would have an impact. You didn't say which way.
Well, and, you know, obviously further details are forthcoming from the state, but, you know, we can provide an analysis in terms of the savings when more information becomes available, but this will be, in fact, a savings to Newcastle County operations of a significant amount. I have to applaud the state taking on this role, number one, but number two, I mean, that's a charge that's not, you know, really accounted for a lot of times in terms of library operations. We have our operational costs, our salaries, others' costs, but this would be a pretty significant savings in terms of operations.
I will wait in anticipation of how they intend to recover their costs.
We're happy.
That's my concern, is how they were going to charge us for that service.
Sure.
So,
also, back to your earlier point, I thank you for your comments earlier. I think what really helps in terms of the Holiday Open House and the Platinum Picnic is the concerted effort to get volunteers to provide their service. I mean, that offsets a lot of the cost, because maybe traditionally years past involved a huge staffing contingent from county operations. Volunteers play a big role for this. And with the Holiday Open House, I don't know how we would pull off without all those volunteers. They do a fantastic job.
And I appreciate that you put that in there, mm-hmm. because that was one of the big battles that I fought with the prior administration, was that county employees provided the service, mm-hmm. but they weren't even listed. It was listed as volunteer, because they volunteered to do it, but they were still being compensated in one way or another. And it was a rather big fight to get people to agree that that was a significant cost, that was a cost that needed to be attached to that program, because be it not for that program that day, they would have been performing other work for Newcastle County. So again, I appreciate it, and I hope the state IS program works out as well as you anticipate.
You. Okay, moving along, Councilman Tackett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Marcus, just a couple quick questions. You have a little over $10,000 in wages and shift differential. Is that like for the libraries more, for the people working on it, so they get a shift differential for it? You also have the reduction of 2.65% for the benefit costs. I guess that's lower this year than it was last year, because your wages went up slightly, but your benefits came down. Is that what it was, Ed?
I don't know what kind of finance. If you remember last year's budget, at the time the budget was passed, 2.5%.
Ed, I can't remember what I had for dinner yesterday.
Last year, the 2.5% surcharge at that time was not decided how that was going to be, you know, affected to the budget. So when it was finally decided, it was passed when the 2012 budget passed. So now it's affected by the benefits being decreased, because employees are giving 2.5% to the health care surcharge.
On it, okay. And Marcus, also on page 11, you denote the reduction in the driver, but on page 18, for the senior, but on page 18, we're applying for a grant for the senior bus.
For the bus.
So if we get it, we'll add the position back, perhaps, or something. What is that?
Jane, Lieutenant County Department of Community Services. The senior transportation director was a position under the old Wheels transportation grant-funded program that the county, transitioned to a nonprofit. However, that employee was still employed and retired last year. So when she retired, had no need for the position.
Okay. Well, the question was, we're applying for a grant to get a new senior bus from the state. What would that be?
That's for the Hatchman Senior Center, which we still operate. And okay. So we're working with Social Services to apply for a new bus. We're funding for that.
Grab job. Mm-hmm. On it. Okay. And then quickly, for the you did the note that the late fees and stuff are going down, and that's great. Yeah. Have we enacted like the let's say the email notification? Your mm-hmm. book is coming due soon. You know,
for libraries?
Yeah.
Yes. With one of the benefits of integrating with the state is we were able to upgrade our software at no cost to us, and that's one of the pieces of functionality is that you get a notice.
Electronic documents.
Right. Yeah. I know. Personal note, but I know my Discover card will do that. It'll say, you know, your bill's coming due, and then it'll send me a thing and tell me my payment's been applied. Very convenient, you know, yeah. for people who are. Are engaging. Thank you very much.
All right. Next, Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I noticed that under the spreadsheet positions, that County Pride is listed under administration. Now, I know that they're a separate entity,
yeah.
but certainly they've been integrated very effectively in our volunteer program. Could you talk a little bit about how they operate as a both independent but integrated part of your strategies?
Well, I think County Pride, and I have got to give a lot of kudos to Rich Prisoire and his leadership with County Pride. I mean, they have funded, at least the time I've been here, the last year and a half, they've been a conduit for folks to fund, for county operations to fund their initiatives through County Pride. Where we've collaborated a lot the past year, I can speak to, is the fact that we've tried to create grant writing workshops, training, and Rich is a recognized expert in this area. I think we've sponsored at least two workshops in this area. I'm very pleased with County Pride and the operation. It gives folks an avenue to you know, tackle their initiatives through this funding mechanism for holding their funds. So far, so good.
More specifically, sure. If I could drill down a little bit, mm-hmm. How are we using Newcastle County Pride as a tool, a mechanism, to make sure that we're ethically compliant with all guidelines?
Jamie, we work with County Pride. It is two separate entities.
Yes.
And so we are able to collaborate on grant programs with them. A specific one would have been in which a nonprofit must apply and that government is not eligible to do so. And so those are the types of relationships that we've developed, as well as to steer entities, as Marcus mentioned, to utilize County Pride for fundraising opportunities and support of programs. They are responsible annually to audit responsibilities and annually come to County Council and present on what their work has developed over each year. So we really rely on their board and we work with them closely to ensure that any reporting requirements are met, all funding responsibilities are performed.
Are any of the programs that we're doing collaborated or coordinated or run through Newcastle County Pride?
Currently, we are fundraising with the Love Your Library campaign. And so that is an annual ongoing campaign in which we promote the Love Your Library campaign through each library. And the funds are collected by County Pride. And we have an SOP which twice a year the libraries know their balances and they order additional materials for the libraries based on the need and, of each library.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. Council President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Marcus, we appreciate your presentation and all the work that you've done. One of the things I didn't hear about necessarily signaled out, not only these activities, but the upcoming Rockwood Ice Cream Festival.
Oh,
I know if you were going to, you know, mention that or plug that or describe
sure.
How you worked with, you know, the separate organizer to put on that event at, and I'll let you describe it, at
sure.
No cost to the county, or what's the cost to the county for that event?
At this time, no cost to the county as we mm-hmm. see it. We're working with a private vendor right now who offer a private ice cream festival and event in July. We're still finalizing some of those contractual details. So basically, we're going to lease out the space for them to do this. And I think we're excited about it because although it's called the ice cream festival and they'll have ice cream, I think to his credit, the vendor's name is Barry Schechler, has engaged a lot of nonprofits and businesses
Schlecker.
In the area to be involved in this effort. Our concern, obviously, is just make sure that our facility is properly maintained. Tom, as you're well aware, parking concerns. and that's kind of our role. But, we're excited about that because, you know, being a county government still kind of new year and a half, that's almost the number one or two thing I always get asked. What about the ice cream festival? What about the ice cream festival? And it's a great idea and concept, but honestly, you know, towards, at least my opinion, in the end, became too heavily county-driven and paid for and staffed. That's not our role, really. So really with this and with Mr. Schechler and his group, it's just creating the forum, the space for it. And I know further details are forthcoming. And what I'll offer up, Councilman Kovac, is that I'll talk to Barry. Perhaps he can do a presentation to council.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, that'd be a good idea. My community services hearing. Maybe why don't we do that?
That's great.
Okay.
I mean, because the partnership where you have this outside person willing to take up what had been a tradition, what had been an expense for the county, utilize the county resource at no cost to the county, not only that, help us advertise Rockwood, which we all know needs help maintain and help, you know, advertise and get people in there that then want to come back and utilize.
And that's the aspect I think we're most excited about, is to incentivize more usage of our wonderful facility. And through the Ice Cream Festival and other events as we have planned, like the Holiday Open House I just talked about, that's what we're trying to do. Thank you.
I think, Mr. Chair, if I could finish.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the feel-good part. Not the attack.
It's all right.
Now, just wanted to, Marcus was looking through the budget, just wanted to get a couple questions that can be answered here today. Fine. If not, we'll follow up on email. Looking through some differences in this year's budget, last year's budget, this is arts and cultural events. It looks like the other professional services is getting jumped up just a little bit. Is there a reason for that, or
can
do we expect
more
expenses?
Can you give me a dollar figure?
Yes, sorry. I can.
Because you're reading something.
Yeah, and it's not designed to trick you. And again, we can get the details later. The approved budget last year was $25,000, it's gone up to $40,000.
Yeah.
It looks like we used $12,009 and $10,000 and may not have used any last.
The $15,000 specifically goes towards the operational cost assistance for the Surrette Pool. The county owns the Surrette Pool. A nonprofit is going to be running that pool. That goes towards pool operations opening and closing. We're also looking at Surrette Pool additional security measures if needed for that pool upon its reopening, checking the fencing, alarms, other types of security measures. But this is Councilman Street's area. So we're working actively for the nonprofit for that operation, but we own that pool.
Okay. And on community partnerships, it looks like the budget is consistent with last year's budget, $64,800.
Scholarships.
Other professional services on community partnerships. It looked like we didn't use any in 10 and 11, so it's listed as zero. So I just, are we planning on?
You want to speak to scholarships at 65?
And that's money that's budgeted as a general fund and then you're transferring it into the grants fund. So you wouldn't see the expenditure on that report. It's actually put in the grants fund. That's the money that goes into that program.
Okay, so all this money, the $64,000, is used. It's just not.
It's transferred out of their budget and put into the grants.
Okay, well, there might be some way to indicate, you know, maybe that we're using it, because it's like $15,000 from 09, zero from 10, and zero from 11.
That doesn't capture.
That's great. I'm like, well, why are we requesting 64 if we're not using this stuff?
Plans for you have to.
There you go. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Appreciate
your response.
Before I recognize Councilman Smut, I just want to make one comment about the Ice Cream Festival. The Ice Cream Festival traditionally was run by the Friends of Rockwood as a fundraiser. And what we are doing is going back to that model.
Yes, sir.
And I want to tell you, the Friends are fully supportive of the Scheckler Initiative and us going forward as a county government in this fashion to revive the Ice Cream Festival, to once again return it to the roots of presenting low cost or no cost to the county and raising funds in a variety of different ways. Councilman Smiley. Councilman Reddy, you're back in the.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
And Councilman Smiley.
Marcus, I just want to say congratulations on a good job you and your staff have done. I know a lot of times I call them myself. One thing I wanted to ask you was with the volunteers for Rockwood, you know, at the Holiday Festival, and for the the picnic, the silver. How is that going to be for this year? We good to go on that the same way?
Yeah. We have a dedicated group of volunteers every year. I mean, we maintain the numbers. And for Platinum, I guess a little distinction between Holly Open House, some corporate volunteers that kind of schedule their volunteer efforts around the Platinum picnic. So we kind of have some certainty in terms of those numbers.
Now, are you going to pay for the balance of the 200?
236? Here, yes, I will. A joke.
Thank you.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I don't want to belabor the point, but the Ice Cream Festival, I'm glad to see it's not in the budget. I mean, the goals and the initiatives are fine. I'm glad to see someone outside coming in. I mean, I was one that pushed, prodded, pulled to do away with the Ice Cream Festival. And I will tell you, It took a lot of heat in my district until they found out that the ice cream company wasn't paying for it, because that's what everyone was led to believe for years, that the ice cream company was paying for it. When they found out it was their tax dollars were paying for it, they wanted to pull the plug on a whole lot of things, including some people. So, again, I hope it works out.
Thank you.
I have no problem with private-public partnerships, and it would cost a little bit, but we start getting into this $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 range for the feel-good pictures, time to stop.
Thank you.
Just to also make a comment about what Councilman Swanee said. At its height, I think the ice cream festival is costing this county nearly $300,000.
More than that, actually.
And I was also one who was urging the then county executive, Chris Coons, at that time, to end our sponsorship of that in that fashion. So, yeah, indeed, it had gotten really out of control, and it needed to be refashioned, and that's what we're doing today, bringing it back in that way. Councilwoman Dillard.
Yes, Marcus, I just wanted to tell you, a few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of being at the Newark Library during their volunteer recognition program, and the number of kids that showed up for that volunteer recognition and how delighted they were to receive that recognition was just terrific. And so I think building in volunteer opportunities for young people and then reporting on it is really important. Let me just throw this out. Don't throw anything at me, folks. But one of the concerns I had in talking with some constituents is that age group, high school, middle to high school, during that spring break. The younger kids do the, you can still put them in a daycare situation, but those 12 to 17-year-olds, is there any way you can do a 3-day volunteer camp Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and use all that energy that are driving their parents crazy to get something great done for New Castle County and give them service hours?
Vehicle car wash.
Yeah, something. I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm just like, I had three people mention that to me, and I'm like, what a great idea. Let's do something good for the county. And so, so anyway, just an idea. But it was a wonderful experience. Those friends groups just do such a great job. Thank you for all of your support.
We'll certainly take that in advisement. I think it's a good idea.
Councilman Hollins and Councilman Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really appreciate the great presentation and all of the work that people in your staff are doing. I particularly want to compliment you for the diversity efforts that are going on, because oftentimes when we talk about diversity, we're primarily talking about race and maybe gender, but we sort of forget about people with disabilities and people who need language skills, and to see that that's incorporated through the Urban Soccer League, through the bilingual programs for Chinese-speaking Americans and others. So I think that should be highlighted. I don't want that to go without getting noticed. And you have three vacancies in CDNH. How long have you had those? I think you said three or four. How long have you had those vacancies in CDNH?
Karen Casey, the two CDNH inspectors for Section 8, they have been vacant we're going on our second year. Because the budget is so, it's just, we can't commit to a long-term staffing because of the fact that our funds have been cut so drastically on the operations side. Mm-hmm. And as you know, many times we don't find out about our budget until halfway into our calendar year. And unfortunately, as Marcus said, the cuts have been drastic, and so we continue, but it's a requirement that we do the inspection, so we can continue to have those two as a temporary employment. Other positions we are looking at we've had some retirements, as you know, over the last few years, and we are planning on. It's just the concern over the long-term viability of our program and sustaining any additional cuts if we can really hire people, permanently, responsibly, because we don't know what will be happening next year and the year after.
Thank you. The other thing that I couldn't wrap my arms around when we got the presentation from the general manager of finance relating to grants, and I still am having some difficulty with this, because when we got the presentation, I had a lot of questions around libraries being listed as receiving grants. And when I see this, I see state grants. And my whole concern around this, if the grant is a pass-through grant, is it really a grant from this county, or this county is just a conduit for it? So in other words, if the state is giving us X number of dollars to go to libraries, can we use that in any other capacity, or do we have to put it toward libraries? It's no different than a grant from HUD. So if a grant is coming to us designated to be spent in a certain way, how do we then call it a grant if it's not coming from our operating funds? And that's the hang-up I was having when you presented before, Ed, is that these library funds were considered county grants, and as far as I could tell, they were pass-through grants from the state. It's not part of our operating budget.
And I'm looking for the finance office. There's two separate items here, I guess, and I understand where you're confused that even though it's listed under the grants on fixed charges, the actual contractual libraries, $2.4 million, is county money that is being given contractually to the contractual libraries.
So where's the state money in all of this?
The state money comes from, when you see like a grant, you'll see like a lot of times like there's an ordinance coming for council next meeting, state grant aid that comes from the state money that we appropriate and then we pass that on to the state.
Then why is money going to a library considered a grant when it's part of our operating budget, just like any other library? We only do that to the contract.
Right, and I see what you're saying. I agree with that. I mean, we maybe it should be classified as contractual because it is actual contract. We listed under grants for charge, I guess, but it's always been listed underneath there.
Maybe contractual grant.
It's more of a, we have a contract with each library,
right?
And we actually sign it. I think we pay them quarterly, right? We pay money quarterly. So there are two separate things going on here. Then again, we do get money from the state that we get, and then we pass that on to the various libraries once we start.
And it's understandable some of the confusion because a lot of the state aid is formula driven, okay? In terms of our expenditure rate, our service areas. Like Larry's here from Wilton Institute Library. We fund the contractual library operations for Wilton Institute Library, as we do for Delaware City and others. And that proportion of allocation is determined by what we would get. So we in turn give it to Wilmington and others. A lot of it's driven by the state.
By the formula.
The formula state, allocation right. of which we do that. And one of the things I didn't want to mention is, they're looking at changing that formula allocation and how we get funds. And I mean, the county still gets the lion's share, but we're looking at that carefully to make sure because a lot of it's on your spend rate or expenditure. So,
but the same thing is with Newark with
the pass-through for community health block grant
with CD, so we still that's another pass through. Yeah. So I think that if we, when I think of grant, I think it's we don't have to do this, and we're just doing this out of the kindness of our heart because we got an application and we gave them the money. But if in fact it's a pass-through and we have to do it, then I think it goes into another category that needs to be designated in some way so that we don't get the impression that somehow this is something that we didn't have to do. We just did it out of kindness of our hearts.
I just wanted to clarify.
Please identify yourself.
I'm sorry, Jane Rattani. The department does have funding for the contractual libraries in its operating budget, $2.3 million this year. In addition to that is in our budget, we then receive funding from the state Division of Libraries, and it's roughly $1.8 million for our own operations. Mm-hmm. That is not passed through. That goes towards our own operation.
Right.
The contractual libraries, they also receive directly state aid funding for their library service. And so the funds are two separate grant state aid from libraries, and we allocate that annually from the state to supplement our budget for the libraries, and then we have our pass-through grants.
Right, and the other point I was trying to make, the confusion comes in for me as well because of the taxes. So if we're providing library service, let's say to a library that we operate as county government, we don't consider that a grant because the county residents are paying the taxes for that service. The same is true in Wilmington. The Wilmington pays taxes to the county to provide the library service. So it's not like a giveaway. It's not like we're actually giving the city or any other contracted library, maybe some of the other ones. It all depends on how the local service function works. But I know for a fact with the city, the local service function means that you're paying taxes to the county, that the county would help to offset the library's service to the city, so they're actually paying for that. And in that sense, to me, it's not a grant.
I would love to do a presentation on this at my community services hearing, because I don't think we've really done that in terms of how does it all work for library funding and operations. His points are very well are valid, obviously. If I could do that maybe in the next hearing, just do like a brief overview so everybody understands how it works. It does get confusing, to be honest with you.
I'm sure the co-chairs of community services would entertain that as an agenda.
Okay.
I don't want to hear no more.
Okay.
Detailed explanation.
Going through the order here, Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Just a couple observations. The diversity of our population, as Councilman Hollins noted, is in many facets, and I'm pleased that we're including now the Indian and Chinese community.
Absolutely.
These new American segments need to be recognized as an important part of our population, just as any of the other cultural, religious, or other minorities that we have. I also wanted to observe, having been on the Friends of Rockwood board for 12 years before serving as a county councilman, that I felt, like the other members of the Rockwood board, that the event was stolen away from us when county government took it over. And it's rightfully going back to the people who can only develop a sense of ownership, which is important with all of our public-private partnerships, whether it's our parks, libraries, or any other volunteer program that we have. My good friend Barry Schlecker, if he were here, he'd correct the pronunciation of his name. We've been friends since the 60s.
Well, don't tell him I said that.
I won't.
And everybody else.
But he's asked me to provide him some assistance from my years of experience of having worked on it when we, Friends of Rockwood, actually ran the event. So I'm pleased to do that.
And I thank you. We're very pleased, so to date, with the coordination with Barry.
Schlecker.
With Barry. I'll learn. Right. But also with the Friends of Rockwood, the last several months, I think, have been good in terms of our coordination. So thank you for your comment.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Okay, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Marcus, getting back like on the contractual libraries, as you know, in the 12th, we have Newcastle, Delaware City, Corbett Calloway. Increase, decrease, current level?
Level funding.
Yes, yes. So current level, no decrease?
No, we dipped a bit for Larry at Wilmington Institute because they're closed for major capital renovations in the next 18 months. So we had an adjustment in the utilities budget, I believe.
But as far as Newcastle, Delaware City, and Corbett Calloway, no decrease.
Right. No decrease.
Level funding. Any plans in the future to increase? Because as you know, they were, all three were reduced under the previous administration as far as going back, and their costs continue to be there, and they do a tremendous job.
I'll be very honest. I don't want to forecast out several years, but I do think that, to be honest with you, we need a reexamination of all library operations, our operations as well, to see how we can operate more efficiently. And that's going to involve all of us, because you know, part of it is integration of certain library administrative services with the state, what we do, what contract libraries do. So we're going to have to examine this in the coming years, because costs are going up. Not just, you know, we focus so much on construction activity, but it's the increase in operational costs for some of these as well. And the coordination with the state. State's taking on some role, but then again, they may be looking at the state aid format allocation. So we need to be very prudent moving forward on these things. So I don't want to tell you up or down. I don't know. But I'll plan for it.
Good answer. I guess just in summation, you know, I think that when we look at the various departments, when you really look at excellence in leadership, when you look at energy, when you look at focus, when you look at team building, when you're looking at empowering managers and employees within a department, second to none. Second to none with the overall manager, second to none with the personnel. And they do a tremendous job with the multitude of different programs they have and the various areas of responsibility. You look at 52% as federal funding. And that in itself, just managing it, attaining it, maintaining it, and being accountable for it. But just truly a great job.
Thank you.
You brought a lot to the community service.
Thank you, Councilman.
Okay, Council President Kovac and Councilman Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Revisiting the subject of contractual
contractual libraries, which we're not talking about now, but we'll keep talking about. There was a decrease in pass-through funding? I mean, like $140,000 or so, I think I had. Is that?
Yeah, their utility budget for Wilmington, they're not going to be open.
Okay.
And so we decreased the allocation that we gave them in terms of offset because they're not going to be open. That was $140,000.
So we're not getting necessarily less money because they're not going to be open. We're not going to need to spend that. Okay. Thank you.
Got it. Good question.
Councilman Street.
Now you just threw me off because we're paying the city sewer costs for the library. We were?
Utilities.
Oh, you said utilities.
Utility part of their budget.
Okay. Well, I still want to answer that question for another reason, but we'll come back to that. Three things. One, where in here is the money for new staff and for new libraries and library expansion reflected?
Well, it wouldn't be in my FY13 budget necessarily. The bare renovation, it's a renovation for the Claymont Library. I think we're targeted open actually July 1, FY14.
Jane Rattani, this budget does reflect the restoration of the part-time budget for the Bear Library.
Yeah.
So it does reinstate the part-timers.
But if you're going open, be open by next July, somebody's got to get things up and running, order this, order that, begin to hire staff, etc. Somebody's going to have to be named the person running that library. I would think if you're going to open by July before this fiscal year is out.
I believe we're projecting a fall opening of the Bear Library. So we have restored the part-time budget as of July 1 so that we can prepare the library for that opening.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In response to President Kobach's question, I think Surrett Pool is the only pool we operate, and it transferred in terms of increase in cost. Prior to, we had Rose Hill Community Center had operated. They chose not to operate, so we ended up having to operate. And one of the things that I had requested, actually from the beginning of my tenure as councilman was that I had noticed when I was running for office that the pool was not protected at night in terms of night watchmen, etc. And given my experience with the city and pools, I had requested that a night watchman of some kind be put in place. I had also, which I see reflected in Woodlawn, $18,000 for security, which I had requested when we opened. My question is that enough? And my suggestion is not all the time, but enough that we put a very nice playground and some nice benches on the outside of the park and around, and periodically those very lovely spaces are places where mischievous people can do mischievous things. And I'm going to say that I'm sure they were probably just smoking cigarettes up on the benches while the kids were in the library, and I'm sure that whatever was going on in the back in the bench, et cetera, et cetera. I think if you got a couple outside surveillance cameras so the security got to look at them, that in and of itself would want to be a deterrent. And number two, if he or she did see something outside that was inappropriate, as I have seen, sometimes, no fault of the library staff, the big call woman to police, and of course, you might have to call the cops from Westover Hills, but at any rate, so that the kids and the people who are using the library for its designated purpose don't have to be exposed to that foolishness. And then you don't have to worry about me going out there and getting beat up at my age.
Forget the cameras.
I think he can handle.
Would you like to respond?
I don't think
anyway?
So. I used to. That's old.
All right. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you.
Marcus, I think that your department is one of the departments that over the year and a half that I've been here, I've learned more about. I think that you are a department that the general public doesn't really know about. They see you as running libraries, and that's about it. They have no idea what goes on in the rest of the county with all of the other programs that you run. And to follow up on Councilwoman Diller's comment, many, many times I have kids that call and ask if there are volunteer services that the county has. If we had a list of what you may have going where you could use volunteers, that we could pass that on, I think that might be helpful.
Sure. Sometimes the situation's a bit fluid, but of course I can.
Right. I mean, but even if it was kind of months, like we do this program here and we can use volunteers
sure.
for that. Just, you know, just kind of general things, or maybe just a contact number that we
Susan
can...
Susan Eckert's might have been my contact person for this, but I'm happy to do that.
Thank you.
Hello.
Yeah,
oh, not a problem.
Any other questions for members of council around the table about our community services department?
I know.
Did you want to go last? Is it about this department or about the budget process?
It's about the budget process.
Well, I'd just like to also throw in my compliments as well. I mean, talking about the value of this department, and when I was co-chair along with Councilman Hollins, I too became extremely enlightened about the wide variety of activities that this department undertakes to serve the public of Newcastle County. If you think about it, almost 300,000 library cards, 2.5 million visits to libraries, sports programs, Section 8 housing, housing rehab. I mean, on 147 positions, we get a heck of a lot of value out of your department. And I know that you brought a lot of energy to it and a lot of good work. So my compliments.
Just real quick, I appreciate all the accolades. I truly do, but these guys over here make me look really good. I got to tell you that. They really do.
Good.
Diana and Carrie and Jane and Eileen and Brian over there, and Andy and Susan and CR. It's a team effort. And, you know, it's nice to have folks that care as much as you do about government. So, thank you.
And let's not forget how we took $300,000 that Sussex County couldn't use for amnesty, and we took it, and we put it to work on the streets. So a lot of great things went on this year. We're looking for more great things in the next fiscal year, delivering high value to our county public with, you know, the bare-bones budget that we have proposed for FY 2013. And I guess the one really... big uncertainty that hangs over the county's head and over the department community services budget is where the federal government is going with all their funds that we do receive in the future. Do you have any perspective on that?
Oh my God, yes. Just in terms of where we are now, see, there's I know we talk a lot, we focus rightfully so on the budget reductions. The issue also is not just the reductions, but it's the timing of when we find out the budget process. It could be Section 8 or some of the grant programs. But also, it's the sometimes regulatory threat to some of these programs, and that they'll put additional administrative burden on your program, okay? And then they'll start fiddling, unfortunately, with the administrative cap or percentage you can actually use for this. That's how I pay for staff. All of my staff are county employees. Not all, obviously, are county funded. And with these challenges, I get asked about why don't we fill these positions or others. It's because I'm dealing with a moving target as it relates to the federal budget. So we do the best that we can. We do a pretty good job. But I can't give certainty in terms of legislative intent on some of our programs. And so we just have to be diligent. We forecast. We monitor what's going on. And we talk to our congressional delegation. Now, as for council, is your advocacy on some of these efforts. We'll inform you when these things are happening, talking both our congressional delegation and your organizations around the country about these challenges as we face with our housing programs. But thank you for bringing that up.
I think it's really relevant to your department, and we all need to be stewards and advocates for these important programs. Councilwoman Diller.
Marcus, I think that if you have something that you want us to send directly, send us the bullet points, and I think either Councilman Hollins or I would be pleased as co-chairs of this committee to get a letter sent out. I mean, we can circulate it and get signatures sure. on it. I think that we would appreciate being kept in the loop on this. I mean, you guys are working against a clock, but if we can help, I think we want to be able to do that.
I'll take you up on that. Thank you.
Councilman Tech.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, just want to commend the department, and I think it's very imperative that, you know, us as a body, we remain supportive of the restraints that you're placed under. You know, when you come to us many times, you know, you're presenting us with things that you have no flexibility on, you know, and although it's frustrating to us because of, you know, the services that, you know, is provided back to the communities, it is what it is many times because, you know, we're based, you know, on these requirements of the Fed. So
that very long-winded presentation I did last week, unfortunately, yep. in the HUD action plan, I have to do that. And I do that because it's federally mandated that I do this presentation, mm-hmm. that I lay out these priority six housing priorities as I talked about them, because that's from the federal government.
That's right.
And we do the best we can. We do a good job, but we are mandated on federal requirements for some of these things.
Yep. And your hands are tied many times. I, too, you know, as we have moved around, I want to give a little shout-out to Susan Eggert. I mean, I think she does a wonderful job. She's just the breath of fresh air, you know, whenever we've had to engage her in something. And it's just, and she's always so receptive, you know. She's like, you know, always, you know, gleaming when you come to her and say, you know, here's this, you know, here's what's going on. And she's asking us, you know, well, how can we make this better? What can we do? You know, and that's the type of reception we're always looking to engage. We don't want to hit a roadblock, you know, because, you know, we're representing constituents here and trying to do the right things. And it's great to just see that out there. And, you know, everybody does a wonderful job. And, you know, I think, you know, I just love Carrie to death, but, you know. We just have through all the programs, right, you know, and the help and the senior rehabs, you know, she's where we have to go and engage. And Norm now has been in there. I don't love Norm as much as I do Susan.
Oh boy. All right. Okay. Any other council members have any comments, questions? Council Chair.
Nobody can touch that.
Nobody's going to drive.
Hey.
One of the things that I think we should consider is I know we send somebody to NACO whenever we're supposed to send somebody. Somebody from this council goes and they bring back information. Those things that are important and a priority to us, I think we should also start sending a message from this council in terms of things that we want our representative to try to advocate for and with them to put on the national agenda. And you know, I just think that given the tone and tenor of this conversation and how committed we are as a council to certain things, that we need to think about that kind of a process as well.
Councilman Street, music to my ears, and I, since I've been elected, I've made it a priority to go to the Legislative Conference of NACO and interact with our delegation on the issues of community development, block grants, Section 8 housing, HUD budget in general, and your point is very well taken, and we need to do more to press our delegation to support those programs, because they're kind of the easy targets in a lot of respects. Were budget cuts, unfortunately. And you know, we seem to have some sacred cows in the federal budget, and then the discretionary budget, which where HUD is, it's sort of like, well, that's an easy one to slice off here, slice off there. And we know how efficient and well deployed this program is out of HUD. And so, yeah, we need to do more to defend it. Yes.
You started. See, now I was going to let it go. But I listened to the opening of his presentation, and I'm listening to the percentage here, percentage there, percentage here, and I'm like, I'm saying to myself, to the administration, oh, y'all are just giving them too much, and you're giving it to them in the wrong area. So, you know, it's federal funding, it's important funding, and if we're gonna keep it, we'll have to fight for it, and it's gonna have to be a fight across the board. And we've also got to be in ongoing communication with our own congressional delegation to let them know that these things are important to us, it's important to this county. I think most of them are important to the state. And they got to stay on the battlefield just because, I said, I won't start it, but since you opened the door, I'm looking at this, I'm like, no, y'all gave me too much, and I don't know what you got in return. That level percentage cuts coming from D.C. out of these federal programs. They gave too much, and I don't know what they got me to. So. I know that'll make your day.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from members of council? With that, I'll open up to the public in attendance. Any questions or comments on the community services budget? Councilman Smalley wanted to have a comment before we go to adjournment.
I did have one. I'm going to make two more real quick ones. First one for you, Marcus. I recognize the federal government required you to make that presentation. Just want you to know, federal government didn't require us to stay here. We did it because we liked what you did.
I appreciate
it. You know, we didn't have to stay, but we did it because we enjoy that stuff. Councilman Street, to follow up on your situation, your comment, just make council know, I was going to wait till a later date, but as the 2012 President of Delaware Association of Counties, we took a vote last week because of the dwindling participation in the NACO visit to the Hill beginning next year. What will happen is, instead of the visit to the Hill, we will be asking Delaware's delegation to come to the Delaware Association of Counties meeting, because all three counties have the same federal issue. So hopefully that will make it easier for more members of the two councils and the levy court to attend. I have a feeling we may need to move it to a bigger place, but that's what was voted by the members of the Delaware Association of Counties at the last meeting. So rather than going to Muhammad, we're going to bring Muhammad's to us, if I may be so blunt.
Okay. If they accept.
Pardon?
If they accept.
I've never had a problem walking across the plaza. I don't think every other member is, except for with the governor, but that's beside the point. Okay. To get to what I was initially going to say, it's time for the annual announcement to members of council. Make everyone aware, as we move forward to the May 22nd budget vote, if anyone's planning amendments to the budget as been submitted to Newcastle County Council and to the county, you need to adhere to the time limits. Make sure you get your fiscal notes in order and everything else. If there's a capital budget amendment you're looking at, there's a 15-day presentation to the executive office, which means May 7th, you have to have it in. So this is nothing, just annually put this out there and make sure everyone's aware. Make sure you meet the rules and requirements, time frames. Betsy's aware for dissemination, everything else. And council itself has said that we wanted to know things in advance. So that was it.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those in favor?
Thank you. Mine's in my office.